This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dodgers sweep the Metropolitans. Shohei Ohtani leaves the yard. Will Smith hits 2 home runs. A 4-hit game for Miguel Rojas. Should he be the Dodgers' permanent shortstop? All that more coming up next on the Dodgers Nation postgame show.
It's time for Dodgers.
This is the golden age of Dodger baseball.
Grand slam! It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What is up, Dodgers Nation, and welcome to the Dodgers Nation postgame show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Thanks for rocking with us. After the Dodgers, they get the win and they complete the sweep of the New York Mets. Your Dodgers offense just exploded today. They win by a final score of 10-3. They improved to 36-22 on the year. And after a rough start to this road trip in Cincinnati, where you get swept, this team absolutely salvaged this road trip. They ended up on a 500 road trip after everything was said and done. They're now 6.5 games up of the San Francisco Giants in the division, and all is well in Dodgerland all of a sudden. And I think it's very interesting how quickly baseball can change. And that's what you love about baseball, right, Antonio? Is the greatest thing about baseball is there's a game tomorrow, right? There's a game tomorrow where you can get back on track, where if you're slumping on offense, if the pitchers aren't pitching well, you have another opportunity the very next day. But I think the biggest key to this road trip was the rain that allowed everyone to just hit that reset button for a day, take a step back, take a deep breath. These guys were exhausted, it looked like, and they were playing like it. And then all of a sudden, it looked like on the doubleheader on Tuesday that they were staring at a 6-game losing streak, that this thing was really going to fall off the rails. And then all of a sudden, 8th inning, Dodgers down 2-0, could be their 6th straight loss. Then all of a sudden, a Jason Hayward single, a Freddie Freeman single to right, that scored Páez to make it 2-1 Dodgers. Then you jump to the 9th inning, Teo singled, Lux singled, then CT reached on that bunt single, and then the Dodgers were able to tie it there at 2 apiece. And then the bottom of the 9th inning, how about Daniel Hudson? He works his way out of a bases loaded jam, he gets out of it, then he shushes that New York crowd. And then in the 10th, Mookie Betts, he gets a single on the first pitch that put the Dodgers up 3-2. Then Freddie Freeman hits a 2-run shot to give the Dodgers a 5-2 lead. They win that one. And then all of a sudden, the second game, you get the shutout. Will Smith hits a solo shot. Miguel Rojas, he gets an RBI double. Miguel Vargas gets his first home run in 342 days. And then Gavin Stone was excellent. I think his spot in the rotation needs to be set in stone if he's going to pitch like he did yesterday. 7 scoreless, 7 punch outs, the best start of his professional career. And then guess what? You top it all off, and instead of a 6-game losing streak, you're now on a 2-game winning winning streak after winning both games of the doubleheader, and then you finish it off convincingly today by winning by a final score of 10-3. Shout out to the LOL Mets. Shout out to the LOL Metropolitans, because if you remember early on the season, the Dodgers were playing around 500 baseball. Everyone was saying, what is wrong with this Dodgers team? Why aren't they going to go 162-0? And then what happened? You got a big 10-0 win with Tyler Glasnow on the mound. That put the Dodgers at 13-11, and then they went on a run. And then against the Mets, you sweep this team, you score 10 in the finale, and it looks like they're back on track. So I think the Mets are the ultimate slump busters, and it just reminds you that, you know what helped get the Dodgers out of the slump, Antonio, is more games, right? I mean, that's what it's all about, right? This team is too talented to go on these long stretches where you're losing, and you got back on track. What was your biggest takeaway from the series, Tony Taters?
Just some patience. You know, the Dodgers, they were struggling, of course, but I just loved, like you mentioned too, the rain delay. They needed that little break, and I was honestly, today's game was just so fun to watch, and yesterday's game too with Daniel Hudson, we were all here, all the writers, all the media team, just watching them. I wish we had that recording. We were like, oh, but they needed that break, and I'm glad they got it figured out, and it's just going to take a little more time, but I feel like they're on the right track again. They're on a good streak.
You bring up a great point, because that was a moment, right? You, for a course of 162 game season, it's such a long season, but occasionally you get those moments in these regular season games that really provides a spark. And that attitude, Daniel Hudson, Huddy, who a lot of people thought was going to retire and call it a career, he gets his way out of that bases loaded jam, and he doesn't just walk into that dugout. He throws that shush sign, and I think that lit a fire under this team, and you've seen him take off ever since. So really a very interesting series against the Mets when you look at the comparison to the Red series, where they were playing their worst baseball of the season, quite frankly. And we got big takeaways from this one, because the offense didn't just provide the runs today. You did it with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman going a combined 0-for-8. What have we been saying this entire season? What have we been screaming from the mountaintops? You can't rely solely on the MV3 for an entire season. You need production from the bottom of the order. You need production from the middle of the order. And the Dodgers scored 10 runs today without Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman getting a hit. That is massive. We got some takes. We got Hernandez is DFA material. Yeah, we're talking about Eliezer Hernandez. Is we got Will Smith is the Dodger dog of the game. We got the early Dodger dog of the game candidate right here. Yeah, by the way, if you got any fire takes, you're gonna see one of these. If you got a comment of the show, you're gonna see one of these. That's actually the Dodger dog of the game. But Tonya, what you got?
Oh, really quick, I just want to update you. We got two super chats right here. We got Albert Perez for $1.99. Jorge Lopez salty after Shohei hit that home run. That's the first one.
We're gonna break that down in a second here.
Yes, sure. And then the second one from MM4 Forever, $1.99. Dodgers belong in Brooklyn. Send them back. Don't really agree, but hey, thanks for the super chat.
look, the Dodgers, that's a part of our history. We graduated from Brooklyn, right? We moved out to the West. You can make it to the best. The West Coast is the best coast, right? Like, rest in peace to the great Bill Walton. But my favorite Bill Walton quote was, he said, California, if the Pilgrims landed here, the East Coast would still be wilderness, right? So the West Coast is the best coast. But I think if you look deep into this one, you look at the offense coming alive, you look at the pitching, which was essentially a bullpen game. Dave Roberts said before the game that they were going to manage Paxton's workload, and he ends up going three innings for James Paxton, the big Maples final line. He gives up no runs, two hits, goes three innings, had three punch outs, threw 50 pitches, 29 for strikes. Most importantly for James Paxton was no walks for Paxton. So I know it was only three innings, but still, that's something positive that you can build on. And then you had Ramirez, Dave Robertson go give him the pep talk where he was hugging him, but he gave one hit, had one strikeout, allowed no runs. And then there was Eliezer Hernandez. You had Grove, you had Bonda, you had Trinan, you had Yarbrough, and Trinan gets the win. on the night. And this Dodgers team, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitchers that held this Mets team to 3 runs. And when you're scoring 10 from your offense, that will do just fine. But keep dropping those fire takes. What is your big takeaway from the Dodgers series sweep of the New York Mets? Any fire takes you got, you're going to see one of these. Tony Tears will feature them on the screen, so definitely keep firing away. We got Mets still have the highest payroll in the league. Hepatitis, see you later. Yeah, hey, guess what? Hey, Mets, hey, Stephen Cohen. Yes, you got more money than God. Yes, you are the richest owner in sports, but it's not that easy, is it? The Dodgers have made it look easy to be a perennial World Series contender and have a lot of resources, a lot of financial muscle, have a deep farm system, but it is not that easy. Everyone thinks they can be the Dodgers. Well, guess what? The truth of the matter is you cannot buy yourself a World Series contender. There's a lot more to it, and the Mets are learning that the hard way. But let's dive into this one. And first takeaway is the power surge from Will Smith. Smitty hit a home run yesterday. He hits 2 home runs today. We already have him as our Dodger dog of the game.
Dodger dog of the game.
I know what you're thinking. Hey, Will Smith, how'd you get back to L.A. so fast? Hey, we got teleportation, okay? But Will Smith, he was great. I mean, he gets the Dodgers on top early in this one. He picks up where he left off. He hits a solo shot, and he adds another home run, his 8th home run of the season. So it's good to see those power numbers go up for Will Smith. He hits a bomb there in the 2nd inning off of Peterson. Really nice piece of hitting. It was a changeup down on the zone. He gets his hands in and he crushes it.
Vientos over to first. Smith again, lift off to left. Back-to-back games with a long ball for Will.
A little willpower right there from Smitty. Got another super chat. What we got, Tony Taters?
Yo, what's up? We got your for $1.99 Guggenheim crip walking on Cohen's bank account.
Oh, I like that. a little not like us. Listen to some Kendrick right there. I'm feeling that for sure.
Thank you, Year.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That definitely will go towards the Carne Asada Fund for sure. Yo, D-Mac, every team playing the Dodgers like it's the last game of the season makes it harder for the boys in blue. Look, like Mookie Betts said during spring training, this team has a target on their back. And yes, is it every team's World Series? Maybe not. That might be a little bit extreme, but are teams going to play up and be on their A game when they play the Dodgers? Absolutely. Just for the simple fact that you're going to have more fans in the stands than you typically do. It's the Ohtani effect. It's the Dodgers effect. So just from that simple fact, you are going to get the team their best effort, the opposition's best effort. You are going to get that every single time because it is the Dodgers. They are the talk of baseball. I don't care that the Phillies and the Yankees have better records. If you have to watch one baseball team, if you have the opportunity to get tickets to one game, it's going to be the Dodgers. There's no doubt about that. So diving back into this one, top of the 4th inning, the Dodgers get back on the scoring thanks to a Smith double to left. And then a couple batters later, Andy Páez on a 2-1 count, he singles to score Smith to put the Dodgers up 2-0. So the Dodgers get a run on 3 hits there in the 4th. They take a 2-0 lead. And then you jump to the top of the 5th inning. Shohei Ohtani, he singled to center. That scored Miguel Vargas after he drew a leadoff walk. So they tack on another run. They take a 3-0 lead, and then you jump to the bottom of the 5th inning, and that's where we saw Eliezer Hernandez really struggle. He gives up a single to Bader, and then he serves up a 2-run shot to Nitto. And if you look at this at bat right here, I mean, this is a sinker up in the zone, caught too much of the plate, and that made it 3-2, the Mets within 1. And then the very next batter, Lindor, he draws a walk on 6 pitches. Then Michael Grove, he enters the game. He gets Beatty to ground a 2nd for the 1st out. And then JD Martinez, old friend JD Martinez, first pitch of the at bat, he doubles to center. That scores Lindor to tie it at 3. And you look at that pitch right there. That is a slider right down Broadway. I think Michael Grove has talent. I think Michael Grove is a legitimate big leaguer, but when he misses bad and out over the plate, and we saw it right there. If he wants to be a high leverage guy, yes, those aren't going to be runs charged to him, but part of being a elite high leverage guy and a guy that people trust is you have to be able to execute and you have to be able to take care of business with inherited runners, and he didn't get the job done in that situation. He does bounce back nicely, though, and he gets Vientos to ground to short. He walked Marte, but then he bounces back to get Taylor to ground out.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
So the Mets tie it up. It was a brand new ball game there in the fifth inning. They tie it at three, and then you jump all the way to the top of the eighth inning, and it's that man once again, Will Smith, another solo shot, 404 feet to left, his ninth homer of the year. Smitty's hitting bombs.
Yeah, Smith, Hernandez, and Páez on the Dodgers docket. Smith hangs back, goes deep, left field, did you? Will Smith will not stop in New York.
That willpower, baby, the clutch prince getting it done in New York. Like I said, one of the big takeaways in this series is let's let him catch fire, because him and Freddie Freeman, the number three and four hitters, they were hitting around 200, really not doing enough lately. Well, you got Freddie going yesterday, you got Smitty going yesterday and today. It's a very, very positive sign for that Mount Crushmore, for the top four in this Dodgers lineup. And then you continue on in that inning. A couple hitters later, Jason Hayward, full count, he hits a triple to right. Then Gavin Lux, he draws a walk and he steals second. And that brings up Miguel Rojas with one out, and Miggy Rowe, 1-0 count. He singled to left to score Hayward to give the Dodgers another run, and that made it 5-3 LA. And then in comes Vargas at the plate, and Miggy Varg, a really nice at-bat. Seventh pitch of the at-bat. He had runners on second and third. Seventh pitch of the at-bat. He cranks a sinker to right. That doubles home another couple runs. Lux scored, Rojas scored, and the Dodgers open things up. They take a 7-3 lead, and that sets the table a few batters later for Shohei Ohtani. And Shohei's been dealing with that hamstring issue. The power numbers have been down, and all of a sudden, Shohei Ohtani, he gives that New York crowd something to cheer about. They got what they came to see, a show bomb from Shohei.
In the air, left field, hit deep. Does he have his first in New York? You bet! Cross City Field off the list. Add two more to the score.
We got RK D-Mac hitting bombs today. Great job. Now, great job to you guys. Great job to this Dodgers team. We know that we live vicariously through this team, that our happiness is completely in their hands. Of course, I only kid, but look, life is just better when the Dodgers win. Am I right, Tonio?
Without a doubt, 100%. Come on now.
Let's go. And then this was probably, of everything that happened, the most interesting part of the game, because Lopez was facing Freddie Freeman next, and he threw a pitch that was on the inside, and Freddie Freeman kind of offered at it, and he thought that it was a swing. They checked the swing. It goes as a ball, and he's frustrated, and he ends up getting ejected from the game based on some choice words he had. Let's see right here. It's two outs. It's down and in. A little breaking ball. He says he was safe. Let's show his reaction. He's like, oh, someone's cussing. And Lopez, he had some choice words. I think the umpire, I got to do a full breakdown of this John Boy style, where I'm pretty sure he called him an a-hole. And this guy is crying like a little baby. And he throws his glove into the crowd. His jersey's untucked. His hat's off. And look at Lopez going into the dugout, disgusted there. You love to see that. I mean, first of all, Freddie didn't go. Second of all, you're crying like a little baby out there on the mound. Oh, I didn't get the call. No, look, it's Major League Baseball. You're not going to get every call. Just make the next pitch and be a professional. It really shows the frustration of the Mets there. But I really like the reaction from Shohei. He kind of pops up and just a little thrown off by what he said. But look, how about this? Imagine going to a game. It's great to go to a game and catch a foul ball. That's awesome. It's never happened to me, quite frankly.
Really?
My dad caught one near me. I'm not going to take credit for that because I didn't catch it. You know, I got it, but I'm not going to take credit for that. But imagine, I did get a bat though. I got a Raul Mondesi bat at a game once.
Dude, you
got
to bring that in, dude. You got to show it up.
I'm going to bring that in. You know, tomorrow I'll bring that in. But imagine, all this is to say, imagine getting a glove, Tonio. How many foul balls have you caught at Dodger game, Tony Taters?
I've actually caught one foul ball, 2019, whenever the Reds were. It was when Matt Kemp and Yasiel Puig got traded. It was their first game back at Dodger Stadium. Had to show them love. And it was Kike Hernandez got a foul ball.
Who was it off of?
I can't remember, TBH, but I caught that on the fly. I was with my buddy Patrick. He was next to me, and he was like, dude, I should have pushed you, but he gave me the chance. And it was just so awesome. I had so much adrenaline. It's a great feeling. You got to love it.
I like it. I was really, really close one time to catching a Corey Seager one.
Ooh.
And it nearly took the person near me's head off, and I'm kind of glad. But I always have that, like, in the press box. I kind of want to just catch it cleanly while I'm typing something, just be like a real G like that. But, yeah, let me know down below in the comment section. Have you ever caught a foul ball at a Dodgers game? We got Don't Dog Mookie or Freddie. They did their part yesterday. Ray V. Guzman. I don't know who's dogging Mookie and Freddie because – no, there's Mookie has been excellent. And like you said, yesterday, Freddie gets the big home run. Mookie gets the base hit to put the Dodgers in front in extra. So, yeah, they've done their part in the group project. There are A-plus students all season. It's Freddie just come alive, really. He's kind of having a later surge, but still, Freddie's back on track. Otani gets a bomb today. Mookie's been playing at an MVP level for the entire season. And, look, I think a couple things we learned when it comes to Freddie Freeman is a day off is good, right? And it wasn't a day off by design, but yet because of the rain delay, he got a full day off. And when your team is playing 13 straight games in a row and you played as much baseball as Freddie Freeman has, you need an occasional day off because you see the bat speed. It's in the 24th percentile. That's a part of it. It's not all of it, but just to re-energize yourself. We know that Freddie Freeman is an all-star player. We know that he's still one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball, but I think a day off here, a day off there, recharge those batteries, and you're going to see better numbers, and you're going to avoid some of these slumps that we've seen this season. But yesterday, Freddie Freeman, he goes 5-for-8 with a double and a home run and 3 RBI. So I think Freddie Freeman's getting back to business and we're seeing Fredericks of Hollywood at his best. But then you look at, so he gets ejected and great moment. Like I said, a fan ends up getting, I wonder who caught that glove.
I'm sure it's somebody posted on Twitter by now.
Yeah. I wonder, you know what's funny? I bet you that glove is not even worth as much as this Ohtani bobblehead. You know, Lopez's glove is probably not even worth as much as this. This probably goes for more. That's definitely, it's 100% not worth as much as that gray one. I can tell you that much. But getting back to the game, this Dodgers team, the offense is humming. Ohtani hit a bomb, and that put the Dodgers up 9-3 at that point. So this is blowout city. They get six runs on five hits. You also had the error, but that is the type of inning that this team is capable of. That you got the Rojas single, the Vargas double, right? That is what you want to see with this team. Let's have other guys down the order have their moments. I think Rojas had his moment. I think Miguel Vargas, you guys know, I have more stock in Miguel Vargas than anyone, okay? And that stock is starting to appreciate. And guess what? There's some empty spaces on this Miguel Vargas bandwagon. I've been the conductor of it for a couple years. Some people left this bandwagon. I'm here to let you know that if you want to come join us and come take some of these seats, you are free to join. Are you on the Miggy Vargas bandwagon?
Both the Miggies, dude. Miggy Rowe and Miggy Vargas. Are you kidding me? Come on now.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, they are absolutely providing a spark. And I think that re-energizes some of the guys that have been really good this entire season because it makes guys happy, especially on a team like the Dodgers, to see guys like Miguel Vargas, who has been through a lot. Yesterday was his first home run in 342 days, right? He didn't see any action in the show after the All-Star break. He goes down, he comes back, Páez leapfrogs him, and now he gets his opportunity, and he has success. And look, Páez and Vargas, they both had success in this series, and Páez was mired in a slump. We know about that, but how about Andy Páez? He goes 1-for-3, had a strikeout. He set up a run today too. So many players that were struggling, they contributed to this win, and you have to feel really good about that. It's going to be a really happy flight from NY to LA. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But guess what? The Dodgers weren't done yet. Top of the ninth inning, Teoscar Hernandez, he strikes out swinging on a curveball down and in, and that brings up Jason Hayward. He gets himself into a hitter's count, 2-0 count. Then third pitch of the at-bat, he crushes a bomb. That puts the Dodgers up 10-3. And how about that if you're Jason Hayward? Jason Hayward did not enter this ball game until the eighth inning, and he ends up with a triple and a home run. So how about Jason Hayward, a guy that I know a lot of Dodgers fans were skeptical would be able to recreate what he did last season, where he hit those 15 home runs, where he had a 121 weighted runs created plus, where he played top tier level defense in right field. Remember, this is a 5-time Gold Glove Award winner. People are saying Jay Hay was Hay washed, but I'm here to tell you, this is someone that one, no one is respected more in that clubhouse than Jason Hayward. He's respected. His voice means something. Let's not forget, this is someone who gave a speech during a rain delay during a World Series that really ended the Cubs curse when they were able to beat the team now known as the Guardians. But he gets his second home run of the season, and you got a lot of guys just feeling good about their offense. And that's what baseball is all about. Just guys getting through those ebbs and getting back to those flows, right? You got the ups and downs in baseball, but we still have a lot of season left. That's from Ray Guzman. Hayward home run was nice. That's from Chilean All-Star. Trade for Jeremy Pena. That's from Soto. Yeah, I don't think those are real natural trade partners. D-Mac, you were actually correct. The Dodgers swept the Mets. Mr. Classic, how about a big up to me for calling that? I called the Dodgers sweep of the Mets. I'll take full credit. Let's go. Also, yeah, Mets. It's the LOL Mets. I mean, this is, I'm telling you, the Mets are the ultimate slump busters. CT3 looking better at the plate. 1-for-4, LOL. That's from Nando 390. Look, have him bunt every time. If he bunts every time, maybe. No, but look, that wasn't even the best bunt, to be honest with you. But still, sometimes plays like that, moments like that, can get you going. I like this, the Jay Hay kid. It's a fire take over here. Chris Taylor, 2 lucky hits in the Mets series. Hey, like I said, it takes more than one game to get into a slump. It takes more than one game to get out of a slump. But here we, this is a great take right here. The infamous El Guapo. CT3's bunt started this sweep. Fundamental baseball over swinging for the fences. Take notes, Roberts. Yeah, look, I mean, it can't be overstated, right? Moments like that, they excite lineups. And sometimes you just need to catch a break. And that's a break right there. And I think, too, Ohtani hustling down the line to avoid that double play was big as well. And that's really what the big takeaways in this one is. Shohei Ohtani gets a home run, gets himself back in a position where, look, I'm going to do damage. I'm going to go out there and start slugging. And then when you have Ohtani slugging, you have Will Smith hitting multiple home runs, you have Freddie Freeman finding gaps and hitting home runs, Mookie's still doing his thing. That is when you say, you know what? This lineup is better, more potent, more explosive than the Phillies, than the Yankees, than any team in Major League Baseball. That top-end talent mixed with role players that aren't going up there trying to be Shohei Ohtani, right? They're going up there to play a role. That's what's most important. And I can't tell you how impressed I've been with Miguel Rojas. Miguel Rojas continues to produce offensively, play Gold Glove caliber defense, whether it be second base, whether it be third base where he got to start, whether it be the shortstop position. He makes it look easy doing something that's hard. That's how you know that you're great at something. And Miguel Rojas certainly does that. But what's the knock always been on Miguel Rojas is that, hey, could he be our designated defender because he can't hit? No. Miguel Rojas is producing at the plate, and he just has not fallen off yet. I think a lot of people thought, okay, had some success early on. Maybe at some point he's going to come down to earth, but that just has not happened yet. I mean, another big game for Miguel Rojas, and anytime you have a four-hit game, it's big, right? I mean, Miguel Rojas, he ends up going 4-for-5, had the one RBI. And just look at the moments, too. The RBI single in the eighth. And at that point, the Dodgers hadn't blown the doors off this game. At that point, that single in the eighth scored Gavin Lux, who drew a walk, and that made it 5-3 Dodgers. So you're getting a big clutch base hit from Miguel Rojas. And now after today, after he added those four hits today, if you look at his numbers on the season, we're already at 87 plate appearances for Miguel Rojas, 23 hits already, 2 doubles, 2 home runs, 9 RBI, and he's now hitting on the year .284 with a .333 on base, a .457 slug, and a .129 weighted runs created plus. So his bat in his opportunities this year is at 29% above league average. Now, if you were going to put up those numbers through the course of a 162-game season and play the kind of defense he plays at shortstop, you are literally a $300-plus million player. And that's just the truth of the matter. I mean, you compare those numbers, and yes, it's still a relatively smaller sample size, right, when you talk about less than 100 plate appearances. But you look at Francisco Lindor, on the other hand, remember, Miguel Rojas, 29% above league average. Lindor, he's at a 92 weighted runs created plus, 8% below league average, hitting .210. So, look, obviously, 242 plate appearances is a lot more than 87. But I think if I read today correctly, and Bill Plunkett is out here tweeting that Mookie Betts start at second to kind of take some of the workload off, that tells me that there's been some communication with Mookie Betts, Dave Roberts, the brass of the Dodgers, and they're saying, okay, it's a lot less pressure, a lot less of a workload at second than it is at shortstop. And you want to preserve the slug, preserve the bat, limit the wear and tear of Mookie Betts, and you do that by playing him as much as possible at second base, because that's where there's the least amount of wear and tear. Outside of the DH spot, second base is the least amount of wear and tear when you compare it to right field, where there's more lateral movement. He has to run around more. He has to dive occasionally. You got the foul situation and foul territory. You could run into the wall, right? There's a lot of red flags out there. At second base, on the dirt, he's making plays, he's staying engaged, he likes it there. And then you have Miguel Rojas, where you don't have to worry about defensively. And if he's going to produce like this, I think it's a no-brainer that, look, Gavin Lux, he's going to get his opportunities, but is Gavin Lux at second and Mookie Betts at shortstop better for this team than Miguel Rojas at short and Mookie Betts at second when Rojas is producing like this. If he can, he doesn't have to produce like this, right? But if he can be anywhere near an average bat, then look, defense is such a premium. There's 10 shortstops on the planet that can be above average defenders and above average bats, and Miguel Rojas has been that in his opportunity. So look, I think there's a couple things in play. One, are you looking at a situation where Gavin Lux, who is trending in the right direction, there's no doubt about that, but if they ever do want to move Mookie off his shortstop, and you want to look for a shortstop to trade for, let's say a Bo Bichette or Willy Adames, for example, does Rojas play there more while they explore that idea? Or if they don't hit something...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
At the trade deadline, after the trade deadline, where you're not worried as much about a full season of Miguel Rojas staying healthy, do you give him more opportunities then? So I do think that it's crucial for Gavin Lux to produce offensively for him to keep his spot at second base, because they now know that Rojas is a depth piece, but he also has the ability to hit. So it's really tough. It's a good problem to have, right? It's good to have this amount of depth, and it only helps this team, but it's going to make it very difficult. I think as we saw another super chat, right?
Oh, yeah, we got two, actually.
Super chat. Let's get it.
Really quick. This one's pretty funny. D-Max UPS man, $2 super chat. I would trade my wife for a foul ball all day long. And then the second one from Ryan Montes, $10. Thank you, dude. Ryan. He says, I almost did when the Dodgers played their first three games against the Braves back in early May. I was a few rows away from catching a Freeman foul ball. I was sitting lodge level 146.
Oh, come! Don't be the almost guy. You know, it's like the fish guy. You know, every guy who told you a story about a fish they almost caught and it was the biggest fish, but there's no picture of it. They don't have the fish. Look, catch the foul ball next time. I don't care what you got to do, Ryan. If you got to elbow someone, if you got to dive in someone, if you have to spill someone's nachos or Michelada, then you have to do that. But whatever you got to do, do it. I have some foul balls. We got Kenny Chung talking to Gavin Lux with another team will make the Dodgers a better team. The trade will bring in a legit shortstop plus conserve Mookie Betts. That's from LA Manali 73. Skeen scheduled June 6th, and we have Paxton going to be interesting. Yeah, I think it'll be the Wednesday game, so that'll be really interesting to see how this Dodgers team can face. Look, you want to see that too. I mean, you want that. You embrace that if you're this Dodgers offense, because in the postseason, it's inevitable that you're going to run into top-tier elite pitching. If it's the Braves at this point, you're going to see the Max Frieds of the world. You're going to see the Chris Sales of the world, who is having a great year with Atlanta. And even though they have lost Ronald Acuna Jr., even though Spencer Strider is out for the season, you're going to face top pitchers. So give me all the elite pitching matchups this season if I'm the Dodgers offense. We got Ryan, D-Max spitting facts, LOL. Plus, I had a Dodger dog in hand. So, Ryan, you agree with me. You got to make that catch, okay? But, hey, it's you get the E for effort, and you're going to get your foul ball one of these days. Dodgers look scrappy for these three games. Arcade light grid, that might be my favorite take I've heard today. That's a fire take for sure, and that was evident to me as well, is that this team was not content in going up to the plate and saying, okay, we're going to try to hit a 10-run home run, we're going to try to swing for the fences, and if we don't, then we'll go walk our way back to the dugout. No, they were making things happen. You saw a mix, and that's why I like guys like a Miguel Rojas. He's just trying to hit line drives. He's trying to find grass. He's trying to get aboard any way he can. And like someone mentioned earlier in the chat, that bunt, even though it wasn't the best bunt in the world by Chris Taylor, it did spark this team into a sweep. So you have to feel good about that as well. So yeah, this Dodgers team, I mean, they're a resilient bunch. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of pressure on these guys. And you have guys that are going to experience some fatigue. And when that leaks into your at-bats and you're facing major league pitchers, yeah, you are going to have slumps. It's inevitable. Congrats on the two homers, D-Mac. Yeah, man, it was a big day for me. Two bombs, a fire take from Cobra. We got Bichette is not a fit, not consistent. Nope, that's from On the Black over on YouTube. Brewers in first place in NL Central. No way they would trade Willy Adames. Dodgers Z Showtime fans. I've been saying that this entire season, that the Brewers at this point won't move a Willy Adames. Having said that, things can change in the few months leading up to the trade deadline. And also, you're talking about a Brewers team that traded Josh Hader when he had multiple years of team control. He had more than that season, and they were still willing to do it even though they were a first-place team. So you can't really put that past the Brewers, because the truth is Toronto's not going to extend or bring back Bichette. The insider report on that from Buster Only was that right now, most executives, most insiders feel like he is not going to be a long-term play for the Toronto Blue Jays. And the same goes with Willy Adames. Look, you think the Brewers are going to pay Willy Adames north of $100 million? Absolutely not. That's not how they get down. So do you really want to let him walk for nothing? That's not how they do things. Right when they have to pay people, right when they have to start paying players, that is when they trade them and they try to see what they can get. But trade Dave Roberts for Bichette. That's from JKid323. Bring back Mitch White. That's from Los Doyers. We got good. Now keep him there. We got Juan. Please keep Vargas on for a while. That guy is going to hit fire. Yeah, look, hey man, I could not be happier. I mean, Miguel Vargas gets a solo shot yesterday. Today, he gets a big two-run double. They really blew things up for this team. And you got six runs in the eighth. You got one in the ninth. You scored 10-3. You out hit this Mets team 16-9. And you took full advantage. So, yeah, your boys in blue, they got the dub. So let's get some more comments here, and then we will head out. And we're going to break this down. We got some more big takeaways on tomorrow's show. We're going to be at 12 o'clock start for Dodgers Dugout Live. It's Trade Talk Thursday, too. And that's when we really get into it. But yeah, I mean, it was a six run explosive eighth inning that gave this Dodgers team the lead. And yeah, I mean, I see some comments about Shohei Ohtani. That was huge. I mean, that two run shot, that really capped things off for this team. That was the exclamation point, because he was 2-for-10. Ohtani was 2-for-10 in this series. Both of those hits, they came today. So he was slumping a little bit, falling into a little bit of a slump. But this Dodgers team, they got it done. I like the fact that you kind of load manage James Paxton a little bit, because you're looking to get 19, 20, 21 starts from him. You just hope that he can be solid. But I think the one kind of down moment was Eliezer Hernandez. Get ready to speak DFA, possibly, because it was a rough going for him. I mean, he just wasn't spotting it. He just wasn't locating. Gave up the single, the bomb, the walk. He was a mess out there. Dave Roberts should have came out there and gave him the Johan little pep talk there that he needed. But thankfully, the rest of that Dodgers bullpen, they're really outstanding. I mean, Johan Ramirez, Michael Grove, Bonda. I mean, Ryan Yarbrough, they all got it done. But how about that? A big sweep for your boys in blue. A couple walk-off shots right here.
Let's see what we got. We got two more super chats.
Super chat. Keep them coming in.
All right. I don't know how to say this. JADIZM. He did a $5 super chat. Concerned about pitching later in the season. Yoshi ain't ready. Am I paranoid?
Look, I wake up at 3:30 in the morning in a cold sweat thinking about pitching, because you can never have enough of it. And you have guys in this rotation that still have something to prove. As great as Tyler Glasnow has been, he told me when I interviewed him a couple months ago that his goal this season was to set a new career high in innings pitched and games started. And you're seeing a Tyler Glass now with a heavy workload this season. And I think that it makes sense, right? I mean, you're paying him like an ace. He should pitch like an ace. And if you look at where Tyler Glass now is, he ranks first in all of Major League Baseball in innings pitched at 74 innings through 12 games. Of course, you got, he's on par with more starts because of Korea, but still, I mean, right at the top. So yeah, there's that. Then you got Yoshinobu Yamamoto, where you want to see a little more efficiency from Yamamoto, the way that his curveball has been executed early in starts in some of these deeper counts. You want to kind of clean that up a little bit, but still, I think this team from a pitching standpoint, the way Gavin Stone's performed, you're getting Bobby Miller back. James Paxton has pitched better of late. You're getting spot starts from the Landon Knack types. And I think these bullpen games, for the most part, even though you're missing key guys, they've gotten it done. I mean, today is another example. It's a bullpen game where they've gotten the job done. They're not fun to watch sometimes, and you really need them to go out there and perform well. But for the time being, it's working. And how about this? This team, they know if they need pitching, they're going to address that at the deadline. They're going to bring someone in. It's no one really I have in mind right now based on where they're at. Of course, there was talk that the Dodgers did have offseason communication with the Marlins for Jesus Luzardo. He's under multiple years of team control. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. But this couple more Dodger Stadium East Coast look like it today. That's from Classic Caps. We got, damn, great to have Trinan back. Filth. He's absolutely nasty. I mean, stuff moves more than a military family. It's wiffle ball out there, and he continues to perform for this team. But that is going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live / the Dodgers Nation postgame show. I think we got some final super chats.
Yeah, we got one more from thank you guys for all the super chats for show. But we got
some parking tickets I need to pay off because I need to go to my car right now.
Órale pues. But we got Classic Caps here. Who do you think our pitchers are versus the Rangers?
I think they announced it, didn't they?
I'm sure they did. Let's check.
I mean, the rotation, the way it lines up. Let's see here. Yeah, because this weekend looks like we got, let's see here. Because you have, let's see, we got, yeah, because the thing is, I mean, Paxton going on the 4 days rest. In the Rockies series, you got Walker Buehler Friday. Then you have Yoshinobu Yamamoto Saturday. Gavin Stone going on Sunday. So it's going to be the same pretty much turn of the rotation once you get to the Rangers series. And then, of course, what's going to be really exciting in Pittsburgh, we're going to see our first look in person of Skeen. So we'll see how they fare. But, yeah, I mean, with this team, you really have to pretty much go in order with the extra days rest with Yoshinobu Yamamoto and just kind of how they're preserving things. But that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live / the Dodger Nation postgame show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Remember, subscribe to the channel, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, hit that like button. And remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.